So the next time I went with him, Ken, we're talking about it, and he's like, yeah, man, I talked to my buddy, and he was like, lobsters really only move around at night. If you caught them during the day, and two of them, the water's full of them there. Yeah. He's like, and as far as Ken can tell, there's no real, like, there's no recreational, like, limit of harvest of deep water lobsters in Virginia. You know what I mean? Like,
if there was, he would know.
Right. Right.
And he threw it back.
Yeah.
Well, it was coming
out. No. I mean, yeah.
Okay, so.
But he kept the first one. And Trish ate that. His wife annihilated that. And I'm pretty sure he said she was not going to be happy about the release of the second one.
So we end up, the guy takes me to a special place. And he says, you follow me. And here, this is called a tickle stick. And when you see the lobster in the hole, you stick the stick out and you hold the net down there. And remember, he swims backwards. Because if you put the net in the wrong place,
that's right.
You go missing. See, yeah. So he says, look for the tentacles coming out from any structure. If there's a cave or a crevice, we're only in 8 feet of water, 6 feet of water. And he says, look for them. So he's off going, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking. I'm looking in the mask. I'm snorkeling along. I got all this stuff in my hands. And I look down, and I see two tentacles, and they must have been this long. And I said, there the bastard is. Come over here. What is it, Reese? Man, there's a monster right here underneath of me. We're going to get the ball started right. I want you to do it so I can learn how to do it. Right. So he goes down, and I'm watching it. He tickles it, and it swims out to the net, and he comes up to the surface. I pop my head off and pull my mask up. It was about that big. I said, damn! I thought it was a two-pounder. The magnification of being under the water. I said, I couldn't imagine if you saw one that was 2 pounds. It looked like it was 20 pounds underwater. So anyway, that was my first experience. We went to two or three different places in the same hole, and there was four cinder blocks stacked up. And each hole in the cinder block had a lobster in it. Mm. Of course, they were only
my man's lobster farm.
Yeah.
They went wild hunting first, and then they worked their way on over to my man's lobster farm.
Then I got a stick, and the thing swam backwards, and I got it because I was in the right place. And I'm coming up to go, look at what I... And he flipped right in when it goes. And I was like, well, damn. So anyway, we caught one keeper, and I said, good, we got a keeper. He said, yeah, but... Every time you split it four ways, there ain't going to be much left. So we threw that one back. But yeah, that was my first time lobstering. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, I dig that.
I mean, we dig catching mole crabs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We hunt for them.
I mean, we literally dig to catch mole crabs. Right. No, I mean, we have fun catching mole crabs.
Because not that there's anything wrong with it.
Because it's a hunt. I mean, we're looking for them. We're looking for packs.
We don't want to catch two or three at a time.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah, so we're actually running down the beach because they'll move.
Yeah. I mean, especially once you start standing in a spot.
If you get in front of them and they smell you, they'll get up and move. If the waves come up and wash down past your legs into them, they'll get up and move. And you have to chase them down. You have to stay away from the beach. And as soon as you see them, I run down, boom, do my dig, and get up, and then they'll move again because you just hit that one school.
Yeah, sometimes it's 10 feet, and sometimes you won't see them for five or six waves.
Yeah.
10 waves.
And you know? and now we hunt them from the kayak. So we get right along the shoreline, and as the waves come in, you kind of look, okay, here's the spot, and we land.
Yeah, watch out for them rogue waves, man.
Yeah, when it's like, actually, there's a swell out there right now. When I just went and looked before I came in here, there's a little bit of a swell.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know what's going to be next on the list. I think my next trip's going to be El Salvador.
Huh.
There's a place down there that boasts the longest right-hand breaking mechanical wave in the world.
Oh, mechanical wave?
Yes.
So it's a park?
No. It's natural, but it's a giant rocky point and a sandy beach for like 400 yards. So as the tide comes in, it starts to break at the point, and it runs all the way across in front of the hotel and down to the... Yeah.
Tidal bore. Yeah. But it's mechanical. I thought you went like a park.
I said, so is there certain seasons for the waves? He said, Senor, we got the wave every day. Damn. He's mechanical. I said, okay, cool. I said, I'm just a beginner. Some of these look like they're overhead. They're nothing to it, man. You get some balls, you'll be right out there.
It was just one?
Huh?
Just one per day? One per tide? Or I guess it was one per day? One per day, like the daylight hours because of the tidal?
Oh, I don't know. I think any time it's in, when it's all the way low, dead low, the water's almost outside the point.
Yeah.
And it looks like they have a tremendous tide, or it's such a low sloping beach when it's all the way and full. And it's probably like a
low sloping beach followed by an immediate drop off.
Right.
So all the energy of the ocean just hits this, yeah. And as the tide comes in, the wave probably gets bigger.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get the GoPro going.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm working out with the wrestling team every morning now.
Yeah.
And I'm doing well on everything, adapting it to my age.
Yeah.
But they got this one called a burpee.
That's
right. I hate burpees.
Everyone hates burpees.
They're lunges, what they are.
No, a burpee is a
squat thrust, is what they call it in the old days.
Sprawl.
And then
push up. Pop,
push up.
And then a pop up. And
squat jump.
And then a jump in the air.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do one.
At my age, it's kind of difficult to get my feet back up underneath me. So I said, you know, these really suck. I'm really having a hard time with these. But I need to do them to get ready for the big trip. You know, I want to be in shape.
Getting your feet underneath you is important when you're trying to surf.
So the man told me.
Not only that, but you have to have, this is not a normal wave. This is a wave you're going to ride for 5 minutes and you're used to riding for a minute.
I don't know if it's 5 minutes, but. It's supposed to be a long way.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought it was one of these ones that, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. I know when I went to Sandy River, Maine on a snowboard trip, they had a 3-mile run, and at the end of that, my body was not used to it. My calves were burning.
Right,
because I'm used to just speeding, boom, boom, short runs from mass.
Crash out, boom, roll.
Yeah, just short, but this thing was a 3-mile endurance run. I mean, it was a job.
Damien and I did a trail like that a few times at Killington while we were there.
Yeah.
Just for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we preferred the Bear Mountain area where we would go through. A lot of it was trail and then some tree stuff, and then you would hit the Burton, which is an the Stash, which is a Burton all natural terrain park. Everything was wood or just like small jumps that they made between trees. Stuff like that. It was cool. They got like
stay away from the trees, ladies.
So you would go, you know, we would go through there and then hit the rest of Bear Mountain, come down and go on the trail that went next to the big half pipe. So you could see the people like jumping. I want nothing. That's a 22-foot super pipe there.
I could ride that. That's the shit I used to ride.
The super pipe?
Well, we used to have a quarter. Pipe. This is a quarter. This was 10. I mean, I could ride it.
Right.
I would.
Oh, yeah. No. This thing, especially I went through it. I went about five or six feet up the wall till it turned to like, vert. I mean, they're solid. They're solid ice.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a vert.
As soon as it's vert, it's solid ice. Yeah. It's not there's not snow.
Yeah.
Unless it's snowing, there's no way that can be snow.
It's all rail. It'll be all rail on it.
Yep.
But I haven't ridden in 10 years, and that's why I'm not going, because I know if I go with you guys, I'll end up trying to jump.
We have a question.
Oh, yeah?
From a friend of one of your friends.
Uh-oh.
No. Shane wants to know if you can outfish Jimmy Cobb.
I would have to say that if I were fishing against Jimmy Cobb, that one out of every 5 days, I could probably hang with him.
Right. That's what I mean. I
would have to say the other 4 days I go, damn, Jimmy, what'd you do? I mean, I have to say that of all, there's a lot of guys that know how to catch fish that are tight-lipped about it. But if Jimmy Cobb walked by me at the marina and I said, Jimmy, how you doing? He said, I'm doing really good. Come over here for a minute. I'm doing good because we got this new thing right here we were doing. So you take this, you take $2, and you take you some bait, and you go out there and tell me if I know what I'm talking about. You'll be happy. Bow to the king, Reese. Bow to the king.
I've seen some wreck. I don't know where Jimmy Cobb comes in or out of, and I don't know. But I speaking of tight-lipped guys, it was right the end of the summer, you know, probably middle of the fall. Right when wreck fishing, actually it was right when wreck fishing was real good. It was right around the time we did the what is the tournament? The Club Challenge.
Angler's Club Challenge.
The club Challenge, yeah. So it was then. It was right around that time. Anyway, I was at the ramp at Little Creek, and there was a guy up there, and we were launching, and I looked up there, and all I saw, giant flounder. I mean, he had a limit. There was four guys standing there, and they had a limit of giant flounder. 3, 4, 5 pound sea bass, not a bunch of them, but a few of them, and giant triggerfish. And I just looked at him, and I was like, man, that's an awesome day for the wrecks, guys. And the guy just looked at me and was like, meh. That's all he had to say as I was launching my kayak and going away.
Well, Jimmy Cobb, he went to all the Julie Ball seminars, didn't he? I think he saw all the ones. He was telling me a few secrets about it. Said something about, I better not give away any secrets, as he told me. Let's put it this way. I put the rig on. I did what he told me to do. I went out there, and I caught a big, fat flounder. And I was very happy. I finally got a citation flounder, and Rick Williams says, if you release it, you could get a paper. The hell?
No.
I don't need any paper. Put the fish in the cooler.
Cooler. Ice. This thing likes ice a lot.
I go back there to open the cooler, you know, just take another gander, because I never caught a flounder over 8 pounds. It's gone. I said, where's my flounder? He said, I'll let it go so you can get your paper. Man, don't you ever do that again, boy.
How big was it?
27 inches or something. So I didn't even go get the paper.
He just trying to, it might have gone weight. That thing might have gone weight.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes the flounders.
It was big enough for a release citation.
Yeah.
The ones on the wrecks seem skinny to me compared to one you catch under the high rise that's got a thick brown back.
Right.
The ones on the wrecks seem to be skinny. They're long and they're big, but
interesting.
I'm not a big flounder eater. I like to catch them. I'm not a great flounder fisherman, though.
I never met a flounder I didn't like.
all the big ones I've ever hooked, I lost, and it was instant. I mean, it was like, you think you have the bottom, and then you're getting ready to pull to break the line, and you feel wham, 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 and the line is loose.
Another flounder swims by and cuts him off, folks.
No, I mean,
they have a story about line.
I don't target them. This happened to me a few times at the ODU Reef, and one day I saw a guy catch one 10.5 pounds right next to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was. I don't know that I lost a big one that day, but I mean, I've seen guys catch them 10.5 pounds right here at the ODU Reef.
We run out together in the beginning on a radio boat, and I said, Kevin, we got some minnows and squid here. I heard there's some flounders. I said, what do you think that guy's doing out here? There's not another soul around him. He's not in the edge of the channel. He's not on a shoal. He's just in the middle of the nowhere. I said, Kevin, do you think the guy knows something or hasn't got a clue? So I kick her out of gear, and we're drifting along, and I'm like, no bites. And Kevin says, well, let me put my jig out. He's got his little jig with his chartreuse tail on. Oh! He catches a freaking flounder right from under our nose. I said, you do that again, I'm tying on a jig. You know what he did? Yeah. Caught another one. I said, give me a jig.
A gulp.
Yeah. That's right.
God, Kevin, you love those gulps, don't you?
Yeah.
We use a lot of different stuff now, though.
What I think about gulps is it's more of a last-minute thing. I don't think the scent that they're smelling that from a distance and coming at it. I think they're attracted to it just like any other artificial lure where it's a sight.
Spinning or something?
It's sight. And then when they get up to it, they go, huh. And then maybe smell something right behind it. But I don't think salt water, it moves too much. There's too much shit going on the scent trail, like they say. I don't think it's that. I think it's when they get up right behind it, it maybe pushes them maybe a little bit more towards biting it when they get right behind it. But I think they're attracted to it visually first.
It's got to be one of my favorites, other than the live baiting of the marlins.
Yeah.
I mean, I love all fishing, but flounder fishing's got to be.
Yeah.
Just give me a tick, and I start getting excited, and I'm like, come on.
Well, a lot of times when you go out in the radio boat, that's what you're doing. You're
That's what I enjoy flounder. Doing. Yeah. Plus, I can do it by myself.
Yeah. And you can get out, and you can drift, you can go away from the structure, you can slide down the channel edges, and that's still an effective fishery. It's always effective.
And even when they're not catching them by the old standard way, that little jig with a little tip on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can, if you don't catch oyster toads that weigh 4 pounds, you're going to find a flounder in there, and occasionally a red drum.
We've been measuring oyster toads now because we're catching them so big. I caught a 13-incher, and then that was out of the kayak, and then Lee caught a 16-incher out at the wrecks, out at the towers. 16-incher.
That's a monster.
Yeah.
I think we should have an oyster toad tournament.
It's getting to be like that. And
somebody needs to eat them. Yeah, that I know somebody that eats them.
Yeah,
they beg me to bring them to them.
What does he say?
They said, you go to Chinese seafood market, you see flounder. You go to Chinese seafood market, you see the big croaker? The croaker 50 cents a pound. you see oyster toad. They call it a big mouth rock toad. $5.95 a pound. And I said, really? And they said, oh, yeah, very good. Just like eating eel. And I said, well, you know what? From now on, I'll always bring you those. But don't you ever put any in my sushi when we get ready to do something over here. But that, you know, that you open up the cooler and that you hand them an 8-pound dolphin. That's nice.
But they want the...
You open the cooler when you got 5 oyster toads in there. 8 of them be like, they make soup out of it. They cook the whole thing, they said. They cut the... Yeah, they cut the gills out of it. But they cook it all head and all and make soup out of it. Hmm. And they said it's just absolutely delicious.
I'm going to try one this year, though.
Absolutely delicious. $5.95 a pound.
I should have kept you the beast.
Should have kept the beast.
I should have kept you the beast.
Flayed up that tail. Flayed up that tail.
Just once. Just once. Imagine the first guy that tried a puffer.
Yeah.
Didn't think it was any good until he ate it, right?
Right about that.
Those things are delicious.
So you've been getting in shape with the wrestling team?
I'm trying, Kevin. They gave me a step. The blue step, like the girls use for step aerobics.
Yeah.
And when I do my burpees, I put my hands on the step. And the extra gives me room enough to get there, and I'm up and I'm going. I'm up to 35 a morning now.
Damn. Hell yeah.
3 sets of 6 or 7 pull-ups.
Damn.
Yeah.
We're run for 10 minutes, which my run is really more like a pitter-patter.
Right.
But I'm breathing hard when I get back from it.
And that's the point.
And then a lot of the things they do are core. And I lifted weights and did curls and bench press and flies and dips. But I didn't do much core. So for me to do some of the, they put the weight on the ground.
A lot of that was ignored.
Warrior lifts.
Well, core, I knew this from my dad. Core, all that core work was ignored back in those days. That's really coming along in the last 20, 30 years. But in the earlier days when my dad was a coach, he didn't even stretch. You know, and so that was, all that stuff has become, of course.
First time I ever met his dad. You ready? I like this one. First time I ever met his dad, I am coming out of Old Dominion University, and I'm going to student teach and observe. And they said, you're with Mr. Ken Whitley at Princess Anne High School. So I go over to Coach Whitley, and he's outside doing soccer on the football field. And I go out there with him, and there's one kid comes around. He's messing with him. He keeps messing with him. Well, after a minute or so, he picked the kid up and slammed him on the ground like the WWE. And he turned around, looked at me, and said, we call that individualized education. And it was just, that's the kind of relationship that he had with that kid. So then I says, okay, Ken, seeing how I'm volunteering, are you coaching anything now? Can I help you? He said, yeah, we got soccer tryouts. I'd love for you to come out and help with soccer tryouts. And we're going through a skill and a drill, and a boy falls out. And he's in an epileptic seizure, and his eyes are rolled back, and his stuff's kind of, and he's going seizures on the ground. And I looked at Ken, and I said, what are we doing? He said, keep everybody back. And I thought, God, you could have helped the kid. I didn't know. You know, I wasn't prepared for anything like that. And a couple minutes later, the boy came to, and his eyes rolled back, right? And they set him up, and they cleaned his face off and everything. And he's like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to get back in there. And your dad is like, to hell you are, buddy. You're done for the day. I need to see your physical. We need to look at your form. Did you tell him you had epilepsy on that thing? But he was kind of like freaking out. Everybody, just stay back. Everybody get back. Don't let him hurt himself. But that was the first time that I met your pop back then. Yeah. And I had no idea when I met you. It was a year before I put Whitley and Whitley together.
Well, the thing was, is I wanted to make my name without his name. I grew up under, you know, Whitley's son. So it was important for me to, because I knew people in the fishing world knew who my dad was, and I really wanted to make a name for myself without being Whitley's son, which worked out fine because by the time they figured out I was Whitley's son, they went, oh, that figures. So that worked out well.
8-foot sea, fishing the shoal for red drum in the middle of the night. Yeah. That's Whitley's son.
Yeah, no, oh, okay. Because I remember I was at the Portsmouth Anglers Club. I was doing a seminar, and somebody said I was Whitley's son, and about 8 faces in the audience went, oh. You know, because they were looking at me like this, and then they went, oh, yeah.
Gotcha. I've only been to a couple of your seminars. Yeah, I did. Green Run.
Green Run. Where did you wrestle?
Later.
United States Marines. Yeah, that was some serious wrestling there. We got two or three young ladies that come in the morning. We got one that's got a full ride scholarship somewhere going. I think, was she a softball catcher? She's really good at squats, man. She got giant thighs. Right. And it makes me think, you know, I feel so weak. I'm like a baked potato held up by two toothpicks.
Well, that's where girls' powers are. That's where their power
is. She's squatting every day, all the time, catching.
It's hips, ass, and midsection for girls. Our upper body is where our strength is held.
I did.
But yeah. But it was
36 at 295 for deadlifts today.
That's what's
cool is getting in shape helps your fishing. That's the thing is we both have realized that.
Oh, yeah.
We both have gone on the
I'm way more comfortable in the kayak for the past 2 years as I was. I mean, I got to where it was, you know, I was always adjusting, and it was just, I understand, like, people that have been bigger their whole life or whatever, you know, you're used to it and you're used to sitting there. But when I started kayak fishing, I was skinny and small.
Yeah.
And I gained a lot of weight over 5-6 years. And then, you know, in the past 2 years, it's so much more comfortable.
You were just pudgy. You had, like, kid fat.
Right.
Yeah. He's just a pudgy, kid fat looking kid.
Yeah.
I have found that the biggest difference is not the exercise, Kevin. It's the stretching program.
Yeah.
Because I'm stretching 3 times a day. I needed a hip replacement 2 years ago, and I'm not having any pain now.
Yeah.
Right.
I've strengthened my hips. I was having hip issues, and through yoga, and now I've been doing kickboxing for the last 2 years now, just at home, not training like in a place, but just doing it at home, and that alone has strengthened my hips. Just by kicking in the air without hitting a bag is strengthening my hips. So I've been concentrating on it.
This dude at our gym's getting ready to kill his second bag.
Oh, yeah.
Second heavy bag. He bought this one, though. He killed the first one and bought the second one. But I saw some stretch marks in it today. This guy's getting ready to kill it. We should invite him over to kick the pads. You get to hold him.
Yeah.
You want the pads to bend?
Here's my little workout before, and this is part of the workout before I...
This was the video you posted.
No, this is today.
There you go.
This is today.
Well, see, I had seen something like that with you doing that, and then I saw you in the ring with your hair in a ponytail, and some old guy, and he knocked you on your can.
That video you put up.
Yeah.
I thought it was you, man.
Well, that's a clear example of that 80-year-old man has been he has not stopped training. Training. That was not some old man that just getting back in the ring. He's never stopped training.
What's the oldest guy you guys have met in a kayak? Fishing.
70s.
70s,
yeah. Really?
70s, yeah. And there's probably guys older than that.
Yeah.
There's a guy on Bayview Avenue, and he's got to be in his mid upper 60s. And he's like six pack ripped. You see him out there in a shirt in the shirtless.
That old man muscles.
Shirtless in the summer, like hedging. I mean, not hedging, but doing the edges with the half moon thing. You know what I mean? Just this old guy. I mean, he has to do nothing but sit around the house and lift weights all day long. Yeah. He is like I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. He looks like Popeye. You know what I mean? He's that old.
Popeye. It's possible. That's the thing. It's possible.
Yeah, this guy is taking care of himself his entire... It's obvious he's taking care of himself his entire life.
Yeah. And well, the stretching thing is something that I always was really, like, important about, even when I was a kid, because I saw guys that were, you know, they were feeling old in their 30s, and it was because they haven't stretched since high school. And so I kept a stretching regimen the entire time. Through the Marine Corps, I took those Marine Corps stretches and just stayed with them. And so then when I finally got into yoga, you know, it was at least a little bit easier for me, but at the same time, I was only stretching these muscles and I hadn't stretched these. And now, you know,
Nancy said to tell you hello, by the way. The Admiral sends her best. Yes. And she started back to the gym with the New Year's resolution thing. And she's been doing a little yoga. And she comes home every day and she laughs because the instructor, what is she, something different? She says, and you need to give your to the, and somehow when she does the move and she exhales and she uses the set. Anyway, Nancy giggles about that. She says, they're all beginners, but they giggle the way the lady does when she says you need to release your innermost. Anyway, I think that's pretty cute. Another Jimmy Cobb question?
No, people are being...
Starship, it's called. and watch for him. And he's been known to lead you somewhere and stop and actually put
the line. Oh, Mark Mosier said make sure to bring breakfast Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. Saturday morning.
That's Mark Mosier has something to add.
Valentine's Day, they already made a bucket. We're going to do a live remote with the new equipment. We got new equipment.
Oh, Adam.
It doesn't go in the phone line anymore. It hooks onto the computer right to the modem.
Oh, you're not going to be able to connect
and
to
right
shit.
Through.
He's got new shit.
You're fucked. We've been fucking with his computer shit forever. You
spent so much money just trying to get this shit going.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I went over and tested.
How does the news do it?
We went thousands and millions of dollars. Right. We went to Glory Kickboxing. Fucking incredible. It was the top world class kickboxers in the world were just here at Hampton. And next month they're in Dubai. So I mean, this is like the best of the best. It was incredible.
Same fight club, different fighters, but same fight clubs. You know what I mean? The same fighters, but
they're playing. It's like the NFL of kickboxing. And it's on Spike and stuff like that. So we got to see it. But on the way there,
one of my friends from work watched it. He was like, there's fight. Lee's at the fights tonight.
Yeah.
Let me see if it's on TV. And he found it. Yeah.
Cool. He watched it. Cool.
He said it was good. He was like, he saw the guy's knee go out in the first round, too.
Yeah.
He was like, man, that guy was hurt already.
Because that's the thing.
And then he went to throw that kick in the second round. And he was already done.
Yeah. He fell forward when he tried. But he threw a right. No, threw a left. And his knee buckled. When he stepped back, his knee was wobbling. I was like, something's wrong with him. And these are heavyweights. Six, and these guys are throwing head kicks like they're like 170 pounders. I mean,
yeah,
he swarmed on him. He ran him down across the clack, clack, clack. And so there's no takedown. So these guys, like, when you watch UFC, their stance is really wide because they got to sprawl out for a takedown. These guys are standing.
And also, I feel like since they know the guy can't jump on them and end the fight, they'll fall easier. Like, some of those body shots were really good body shots.
And take a break.
But some of those guys took a break.
But they also have, they can only get knocked down three times.
It ended up being three times in a round, or four times in a fight. The fourth time he knocked that guy down, it was the...
Right, right.
Because the third time, he jumped up on the thing.
Yeah.
The fight before that, it was the end of the tournament.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I can't remember the name. It was Dutch. These are all these Dutch dudes.
Yeah. And this guy, I mean, this other guy was fine as long as he was moving around.
But it ended up being this guy
realized what was happening, and he would let the guy move and let him move and then see him in a corner and take one step forward. And the guy back would be in a corner, and he would just be getting a break speed off.
It was the two styles that were conflicting.
Muay Thai, like...
Not Muay Thai, is more stand straight, but it was the Taekwondo, where it's flashy, spinny kicks and strikes from, like, karate strikes from way far out, right? He was great at that. That's how he got up to... And these guys also, the third time they fought that night,
It was a tournament for this class.
Oh, okay.
So these guys have already fought, and then they got, these other two, and then they fight again. So it's fucking... Yeah. So you got this guy who's doing all this stuff, and then you got another guy who's Dutch style, who's... You basically, you're right up close to each other and strike. Without all the flamboyant stuff. So you got this guy's doing all this stuff, and eventually all he would have to do is get inside, and he would start lighting him up, put him in the corner, and he couldn't get out. And eventually he put a knee. I mean, he hit him down with three different knees. Like, every time he went down, it was a knee straight up the middle. He'd drop. But it was crazy. It was like that style was, you just couldn't beat that style.
I'd like to see that sometime. Let me know next time.
I don't want to go back
to Dubai, but...
That was fun.
Yeah. And... anybody that's a fight fan that watches these things, if they come to Hampton or Scope, there's not going to be a bad seat.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a bad seat at all.
Even when we were comfortable because
we were the furthest away.
Yeah, and we're still fine.
From the ring as you could get as far as like length, because we were on the end of the arena. Well, the arena was only three quarters set up. Yeah. They had the wall up, so that everybody had their area space behind that. Then they had the ring, and it was, like a horseshoe around it almost. Mm-hmm. So we were at the far end of the horseshoe.
And we had an area, we had like 5-10 seats around us where nobody was. So we were comfortable. We could have actually gotten closer, but we were just comfy where we were.
Yeah, we didn't realize it was that much closer to the ring. If you go around to the sides.
Yeah, you're right on top of them.
You were right on top of them. And as high as those places are,
you probably
had a good angle from up.
Yeah, but we could hear the strikes from where we were.
Yeah, I mean, the leg kicks were...
Clack.
How do you? I don't understand. Like Charlie horse after Charlie horse, and you got to keep fighting through it
over and over and over.
You have to keep going. And this guy just every time you take the wrong step, he Charlie horses you.
Yeah, he's hitting with a baseball bat. He's hitting with a because it's calf. I mean, it's shin right on your.
Don't hit me with this shin.
Just like a baseball bat.
Get up over here.
He's getting ready to take you down. He'd been in wrestling practice today already.
I had a roommate in military school that was a. 12 and under Golden Gloves champ. And I said, you box, really? He said, yeah. I didn't know what that meant. He says, do you box? I said, no, I hadn't ever. He said, you want to try? I said, I guess. He said, well, I got some gloves here for you. He put the gloves on. He got all the gloves right. And he put his gloves on. He said, hold your hands up there in front of you. I held my hands up. He said, are you ready? I said, yeah. Bing! He hit me right in the nose. I took the gloves off. I said, that's
we're done.
I'm all done fighting.
Yeah, Kevin has a set of the
pads.
Pads for your
the Muay Thai pads.
Calves.
Yeah.
Forearms.
So we
I'd love to get some of those for my kids in class.
Yeah.
They always want to kick and beat each other and punch somebody.
I know. We need to have you and Rick in here and you just talk about
crazy kids.
Crazy students for an hour and a half.
I do have one girl that's just won first place in a national contest for your, what was the second one you said that was flashy?
Oh, Taekwondo.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
she won the 15 and under national divisional championship. She's going to the big thing here.
Look out, Ronda.
And that's another thing about the
she was in the swimsuit.
Look out, Ronda Rousey.
Here on Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yeah, Rousey. I saw the pictures on the Facebook from the Sports Illustrated.
You don't think they touch those up at all, do you?
No. Probably not much. I mean, she's only 25, 26. I mean, it's probably not a lot of touching up there. Oh, see, and that's the thing is like, I've seen girls that hot. In person, I mean, it's not like everything is touched up on the internet.
We've seen her fight.
Yeah,
when she shows up for those fights,
she shows up to weigh in. She's model cut because she's at weight.
Yeah, they haven't. They've been cutting weight like wrestlers, except she's trimmed.
The Glory Kickboxing, man. That's the thing. Is like if people like the UFC and they don't like the wrestling or the grappling part of it. I mean, that's what that Glory is all stand up. It's clack. Legs clack, throwing bones.
We saw probably more people get knocked down with body shots.
Yeah.
Than headshot, especially. I mean, guys, kickboxers get a person in the corner, and it is relentless. Relentless.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was awesome. I hope it does come back around again. But
that was
Mike
fun.
Tyson was there because Mike Tyson was doing the
he does the promotions
the promotion
him.
Show the countdown show and he was there in the audience. So everybody was freaking out about that. That was kind of interesting. But it was cool. It was definitely cool.
Well, what's next on your plans? What do you got lined up?
For fishing-wise?
Oh, or show-wise?
Show-wise.
Are you going to do the...
Kid Neil tomorrow night. And what we're doing new is the Skype. So we call in people from all over the place, and we're trying to get that going. So that's been doing that.
Yeah.
Next, we have Ty Sutherland next week. And Elias from New Jersey. He catch flounder.
What's up with Chase? Just busy?
Oh, no, I just haven't. I need to get on one of the fight nights we can talk
we
about.
We should have talked about Glory. We should.
Yeah, I know.
This week is busy, though. I mean, this week is fun.
Yeah.
Having Reese in here is awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, Ken tomorrow. These guys have stories from